You are listening to 15 Minutes, the show with Osiris Munir, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, all my kindreds out there, what's new in the world of the planet called Earth? I tell you, lots of things always going on. I want to mention a few things. I happen to be scanning YouTube, as I often do. I love to do various amounts of research and study on various subjects. And I happen to run across a show, I believe it's called Mediocre's Tutorials and Reviews. And the young, handsome lad on there was talking about the late Kevin Samuels, who basically I'd never heard of. Maybe it's because I live out in LA. I don't know. But I had never heard of him, but it was interesting because he mentioned some things that Tracy Ellis Ross talked about on the Michelle Obama podcast. I think it's always interesting when people form opinions or their opinions formed of those people that we honestly don't know. I've been in California many, many years and been in the industry since I was in my 20s. And kind of grew up in the industry and had a chance to observe people in different kinds of ways. And a lot of you out there think that you have some perspective based on what you read in trade magazines, here in the news about Hollywood. And then in some cases, those things are real, but in some cases, they are not. Again, these people are professional entertainers. They are governed by certain laws and regulations when it comes to interviews, what they can say safely. They're not going to sit down and pour their whole life into the public. And so I think it's a little bit unfair to judge someone by a slither of a conversation that we happen to hear over a podcast when it would take probably an hour to really expound. You know, she'd have a lot more to say, and then maybe there will be a clearer interpretation of what she meant. But a lot of what she said, I think made sense, and I can see both sides. Again, Tracy Ellis Ross, we are all our own individual people. We should not walk to the beat of others, but rather listen to our own hearts and walk to our own rhythm and beat. And particularly in Buddhism, we feel that when there are areas of our lives that we have yet undiscovered or that we desire and they remain unfulfilled, it means that we have made some very harsh and not so good causes in those areas of life. Take it or leave it. Believe what you want to believe. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about living an everyday life and making causes in the law of causality, which is a real law, like the law of gravity, and not knowing. And then those things sitting inside of life at an appropriate time, the environment can cause a response. You know, so much like, real quick, an example before we bring on our wonderful guest. An example, if someone goes out and robs a bank, that would be the cause. The effect would be that eventually you would get caught. Simple cause and effect. It's simple and very profound all at once. So I just want to caution. And then I happen to hear, before we bring on our wonderful guest today, a really quick interview from Diane Keaton, who decided and chose not to have a family until after 50, and she has children and married, the whole thing. But because of her particular individual path in life and her purpose, she made that choice. And I think everyone should be allowed to make such choices, and that we are our own people and no one should govern and dictate our timeline when we should or should not do things. So to our guest today, I have the wonderful pleasure and want to shout out to our sponsor, Kevin Pike, our senior real estate and probate specialist with Coldwell Banker, 818-571-1508. Look at that cute little smile. He is wonderful, a great human being, and knows the real estate market like he knows his sleep. Can do it in his sleep. He's a wonderful guy. Again, Kevin Pike, Coldwell Banker, senior real estate and probate specialist. 818-571-1508. Don't beat me for that one, Kevin. Okay, now for our guest. There is an organization out there that you may or may not have heard of. I think you're going to know more about them today than you ever have, and you're going to want to support. Our guest today is Jeffrey Sitkov. Jeffrey is the CEO and founder of Doors of Change. Doors of Change is unique in that it goes out and it attracts and encourages the support of the most prestigious realm of the entertainment industry to support homeless youth. And I'm going to have Jeffrey come on and talk more about that. That is something very close to my heart. Jeffrey and I. Hey, Jeffrey.
Good afternoon. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, my gosh. So Doors of Change, as I was telling our audience out there, is an organization that focuses specifically on homeless youth. But more importantly, you have been able to magically attract and draw in a very prestigious level of entertainment celebrities that support homeless youth. How were you able to do that? And what prompted you to start Doors of Change?
Well, Doors of Change, O'Series, is a 501c3 organization, a nonprofit that has been helping homeless youth in San Diego, California, get homeless youth off the streets for the last 24 years. We've actually helped over 2,900 between 17 and 24, the transitional age youth, getting them off the streets, getting them to be self-sufficient, to be role models for others to follow so they can be leaders for other kids to say, listen, if I've gotten off the streets, you can do it also. And with the community's help, we've been able to do that for 24 years now.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you ask how we get, celebrities involved. I was very blessed to have Billy Joel was the first angel that trusted me and signed a keyboard 24 years ago. And from that, he talked to Elton John because they were touring together. And Elton said, I love the vision of getting homeless kids off the streets. I'd like to help the organization also. So having the two of them actually sign keyboards within the first 3 months, 24 years ago in 2001, it really gave the credibility for other people in the industry to say, you know something, if they're backing this organization, it must be safe to back, and I will also help them. And that's how we've got many, many amazing artists, the Rolling Stones, B.B. King, Santana,
Elton John,
et cetera, But it started with Billy Joel first, and we're so grateful because we have been able to help so many kids because they've signed memorabilia, we've sold it, and the 100% of the proceeds go to get homeless youth off the streets.
Oh, my gosh. So what encouraged you? Were you at any time homeless yourself? Or do you have anyone close to you that inspired you to do this particular group? You could have chosen Wolves of the Wild or Animals and Cats, but you chose homeless youth. What caused you to do that?
That's a great question, Osiris. I happen to be a physical therapist by profession. I practiced for 18 years. I had a successful practice with 17 employees. And in 25 years ago, I got a spinal cord injury, a freak accident, in which I had to stop my profession. And after a lot of soul searching, I said, I've got to help youth because when I saw Columbine shooting, the Santee shooting, all the escalation of violence, I said, these kids are going in the wrong direction. And so I literally spent a year researching nonprofits with youth that made better decisions, helped them make better decisions. I had no idea there were homeless kids in our community, and I went on outreach one night to see how they got homeless kids off the streets, and that one night changed my life. I've been helping homeless kids ever since because I was so touched by what I found that night and how kids don't trust anybody, and when you gain their trust, they want to get help, and that was it was like God hitting me over the head with a bat saying, this is it, and I've been helping kids for 24 years ever since.
Now, do you actually is it more on an administrative level where you're behind the scenes, you're talking to maybe, the heads of schools or managers, people like that, or do you get out in the streets with them, engage with them in conversation, follow them from step one to step two? How does that go?
For over 20 years, I personally went on outreach myself and all of our staff. We actually go on outreach on the streets to find the kids, give them food, give them clothing. But the most important thing is developing their trust quickly, because these youth don't trust anybody, you know, and why would they? They've been taken advantage of by their parents, by anybody that they know that's adult. So they don't trust anybody. So we are experts with Doors of Change and building trust quickly. And once we do, they want to get help. And that's why we've helped 2,900 kids get housing over the last 24 years, over 2,900 now, because each of them trusted us. They took our advice. They worked hard, but they got off the streets, and many of them are self-sufficient as a result.
Now, how early do some of them end up on the streets? Is it like early teens? I mean, some of them got to be like babies. Come on, you know, out there on the street. And how does that happen to them?
These are great questions. I mean, for the first 10 years, we helped kids 12 to 17 years old. And that's very important. However, I kept seeing the older kids, the 18, the 19, the 20-year-olds, that no one was helping. There was no help at all for them 24 years ago. And I kept saying, these are the kids that need the services more than any of them because they're the most underserved. And so we started focusing specifically on 17 to 24-year-olds. They're called transitional age. And that age group are the most underserved of the entire homeless population globally. Yeah, because they feel, they're adults, they can take care of themselves. But realistically, they could be 20 or 21 years old, but emotionally they're 13 or 14 because their parents never taught them what normal parents teach kids on how to be successful in life. They don't know this kind of stuff. And so they really are out on their own. However, if we give them a hand up, Osiris, of all the ages with homelessness, they have the most successful in breaking the cycle of homelessness of any age group, 17 to 24-year-olds. So when someone says, you know, what do I want to help? What do I want to support? To me, your biggest bang for your buck in helping someone is the age group that's going to break the cycle of homelessness more than any other, so you can get them off the streets. And that's one of the ways we can help get, you know, homelessness less.
Mm-hmm. Now, when they are out there in the streets and you and your associates are engaged with them, is there a technique, or is it from your experience of being out there and talking to them where you do gain their trust? They slowly open up. And more importantly, I want to say something. You made a point and it made me think of something. Why do we as a society, and this is all over the world, think that age is associated with maturity? Like, just because you're 20, you're 20, so you know all these things and you're hip, but 20 is only 10 years from being 10 years old. 10 years ago, a 20-year-old child was 10 years old. And we expect that them to be some mature adult, ready and prepared to get in the world, when you said they have no education. No one has given them tools to do that. What makes Doors of Change able to get that trust and get them up out of themselves moving forward?
That's another great question. You know, we really are experts in building trust. And how we do that, number one, is being authentic. The kids can see right through you. They're on survival mode. And so they get BS by everybody. But if you're authentic with them, you give them things, you follow through with your word quickly. You know, we're one of the only organizations in the city of San Diego that 24/7, when a kid calls us at 2 a.m, one of our staff will pick up the phone at any time of the day. So they know that, wow, someone cares. If they're picking the phone up at 2 a.m, you know, that's very rare. But we give them services very quickly. We don't have to wait for 2 weeks, 1 week, 3 days. Within an hour, we get back to them. We get them the stuff the next day if needed. We really, that will start building trust quickly. I mean, you follow through with your word quickly. And by the way, you ask, how are we successful with this? All of our staff are specialized in what's called trauma-informed care. There's certain ways you act, because all these kids have trauma. They have trauma within the house, especially when they're on the streets. There's a lot of PTSD and a lot of tremendous trauma they go through. So you have to have special training. I know how to handle kids that have been through severe trauma. And we're all experts within trauma-informed care, it's called. And that's why very quickly these youth trust our case managers. We have two phenomenal case managers, Turquoise and Angel, and Justine, who is one of the ex-homeless youth that actually mentors these kids. our kids that are involved, whether they're on the streets now or they've been off the streets, they still come back and help, you know, and mentor the kids that are homeless. But our staff is tremendous. And so they really, you know, they're passionate about the cause. They come through with their word. They build trust quickly. And we have integrity. And we follow through with our word. And we get them the service they need, because everybody has a different, you know, story. And they all have different needs. And so we ask them, would you be okay if we assessed you? It takes about 45 minutes. We'll ask a bunch of questions. And they'll be able to see how we can help you and give you suggestions. And most of the time they say yes. And so every kid is help, you know, has different needs. We get them whatever they need, including housing. As I said, in the last 3 years alone, we have concerts one year we'll talk about. And the result of the concerts, we've helped 805 youth get off the streets and housing in the last 3 years alone.
Now, within the community of this, these homeless youth, what is the outreach like in the community? Are you connecting to hospitals, churches, restaurants, you know, for how are you doing it? You must have some support within that system. Yes. There.
Yes, we have outreach workers. We have case managers. We have program directors. We go on the streets, you know, and find these kids. And now we have 115 partnerships. Just to ask your question, 115 organizations that we partner with. If a kid has domestic violence, we get them to that specialist. If a kid has, you know, PTSD, we get them to ask them if they are interested in getting help. And we get them case management. We get them mental health services, because a lot of these kids really will benefit from seeing a mental health specialist, whether they need medication, whether they just need to talk to someone. And it's so wonderful because they trust us and they say, if you think this will help me, I'll try it. And so last year alone, we had 354 treatments that actually for mental health that the youth actually took advantage of. And that was fantastic. So we do whatever we can to help them with whatever needs they have.
Have you found that art, music, creative things are able to help them unwind their mental issues or whatever you want to call it? Do you think that those things really do support getting someone back to a healthy space, you know, wherever that is?
Yes, I love your questions. I know for a fact that it does, because we had an award-winning music and art program taking music and art to the streets. We call it TMATS. We had TMATS for 18 years up until COVID, and it was extremely successful. We saw 8,000 youth. Homeless youth in our program. We actually taught them, you know, on 7 instruments, and they would come in not knowing anything. And in an hour, they could learn a chord, a D chord or a C chord or something on the mandolin, the ukulele, the guitar. That alone helped their self-esteem, because they many times had never mastered anything in their life. And within an hour, they actually mastered something, and it really helps them. They could actually earn instruments of their own by coming a certain amount of times. We have not had the TMATS program now for 5 years since COVID. God willing, within about a year, once we raise enough money, we're going to start it again. But we have had a program since then that has actually helped us 3 times as much housing since we started our homeless youth advocacy program, because we're really advocates for these kids. We're like their surrogate parents.
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
And we give them intense case management. And the case management has been so beneficial for getting them the things that they need, the resources that they need. And we've now been able to triple the amount of kids we've helped in housing since we started the Homeless Youth Advocacy Program. So both music is important, but our case management and our Homeless Youth Advocacy Program has been so successful that we want to continue to expand it, because it's really, you know, made a great strides.
Now, Jeffrey, for the kids, the younger kids, your tweens, your kids that are just plain old fed up with the parents, maybe they've matured in some ways that the parents can't keep up with. Maybe they're experimenting with different things because of their outside influences. There may be a myriad of reasons. But how often and how much are you able to get the parents involved? Are there any reconciliations for placement for them? Do they go back into the home? You know, what happens in that regard?
Well, firstly, most of the time, we don't deal with the parents because they are so dysfunctional. We deal with the youth. And so it's not safe for them to be at home. If we can find family members that's safe, their grandparents, aunts and uncles, then we reunite them with safe family members. That's great. But many times the parents are so messed up, they're so dysfunctional, and they hurt them psychologically, physically, mentally. You know, it just, it's not safe getting in with the parents. So we really get the youth to be self-sufficient so they can take care of themselves. And we are very, very blessed. I'll share something with you that we are just blessed last month to get a four-year contract grant from the San Diego Foundation. That's the largest foundation in San Diego for nonprofits. They're a billion-dollar foundation. And they decided to have Doors of Change partner with Urban League. And we're going into the high schools and into colleges and offering scholarships for trade school and for college, for any homeless youth that wants it. And so that's a great partnership now for us to be able to give these youth, especially trade schools, they can be, you know, culinary arts, they can be a barber, they can be a mechanic, all different fields that they'll actually get a degree in from college, from most of the Mira Mesa College, Collamer College, City College, the two-year schools will get them degrees so they can actually go out and make money for themselves, have a trade, and be self-sufficient.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Because that's what happened to me. I didn't end up homeless out of my home, but I went into the military at age 16 and just kept going. I became self-sufficient. So it's really, that is very important that you out there understand that self-sufficiency and self-worth and esteem can be built at such an early age that these children and youth are able to build a whole life by themselves without an adult supporting them based on Jeffrey's plan and your outline. Yeah. What an incredible job you're doing. You should really be getting an award for an Oscar for, you know, doing what you do and bringing celebrities in on it. I don't know why they might develop something like that, a humanitarian Oscar or something like that.
I'd rather, you know, put the success based on our case managers, our program directors, our staff. Those are the ones that are dealing directly with the youth every day. Those are the ones that pick up the phone at 2 a.m. Those are the ones that, you know, need a gas card. They need, you know, mental health. They need Medi-Cal. They need IDs to get a job, how to get their self as far as getting prepared for job interviews, how to, you know, what to dress for job interviews. Our case managers and our program directors and stuff, they are angels for these youth. And I'd rather have them get an award than me because I'm just the quarterback.
I'd rather for all of you to get an award because all of you deserve an award because without you, you're the inspiration. You know, you're the one that went in there and say, look, I got a plan. I got an idea. Let me dig it out. You want to help me out? So it does take a team. It is not just one person. You're correct. And think like that. So a question that came to mind when you said that it was the parents are dysfunctional. So are you telling us that these people are having children? Why are they dysfunctional? Are they uneducated or they don't want kids? What happens for them to all of a sudden your child is out in the street and you have no regard or what's going on?
Well, of the 4.2 million youth that are homeless in America today between 17 and 24, 4.2 million, 40% of those youth are LGBTQ+ kids. They come out to their parents and within an hour, they kick them out of the house. They don't want to have anything to do with them. They don't give them food, clothing, money, nothing, and they're on their own. That's 40%. 60%, their parents are mentally ill. They're drug addicts. They're alcoholics. So abusive that it's not safe for the kids to be in the home. So that's why these kids are on their own on the streets and they don't know who to trust. They don't know what to do. So that's why it's crucial to help, especially to me, the transitional age kids, because they have the ability. They're not in this, their feet aren't cemented into the ground. They can get off the streets. If you help them and they gain your trust and they work hard, they will be successful as long as they work hard, we will help them get there.
So not only are they homeless, they have their own community that they have to answer to. Another similarity, I have those things in that parody in my life with my own children and other people, the other children of people that I know. And what I would like for you to answer, excuse me, in regards to them being of the LGBTQIA plus community, their mindset, them being unconventional, they don't fit into the norm anyway.
Sure.
What kind of management and mental management, physical management that they are required to have in order to continue their education, in order to fulfill their dreams as people? Who cares what their sexual preferences are as human beings? How do you work with that with them?
You have wonderful questions. Firstly, we give unconditional love to everybody we treat, everybody we work with. There is no judgment. We do not judge people. We accept them for who they are and where they are. And because if not, they will leave. So if they feel that it's safe being with your team and that Doors of Change will not judge me, they will not, you know, put titles on me, that they literally will accept me for who I am. And as they trust us more and more, they're going to ask more things, and we give them more and more services depending on what they want. But it's really acceptance and love. One of the kids said the difference between Doors of Change and the other organization I was at is that I felt loved. I felt cared for, because these kids will get it, and they get it very quickly, especially since they haven't been able to trust anybody. But when they see genuine kindness and that we do not care their background, we accept everybody for who they are and we don't judge them, it makes a big difference. Now, right now, what's going on politically right now, they're getting hammered. They're getting their names revoked, you know, taken away, and, you know, their history taken away, et cetera. We treat them as human beings the way they should be treated. And they're, you know, and with dignity and respect and love.
You know, that's very arrogant. That's very arrogant of us as a society. I was just saying a commentary before I got on air with you. That's very arrogant of us to think that we are, we can create and give life to the point that we can dictate who, what people, what timeline they should be on, how they should have. I mean, I don't understand. I'm like you in that regard. And I fight for these things that I don't understand why people aren't allowed to be themselves. Who dictates another individual telling someone what they should be? That's very arrogant. And we should be ashamed of ourselves.
Yes.
And then we wonder why our society looks in the way it looks. And in my opinion, a lot of it is from a mistaken and this misdirected religious beliefs.
Yes.
You know, and things that are misdirected and misguided and taken into the wrong interpretation. In my opinion, that's, you know, this is why I am a certain way and I believe in a certain thought, so that you can stay clear of those kind of imprisonments to help that don't help anyone, no one, not the people giving them or the people receiving. So when you're out there with them, are they still able to pick themselves up, make themselves a whole person, or you help them become a whole person? Do they then come back and support? What do they do when they get on their feet?
You know, it's amazing. So many of these youth I've known for 24 years, and they keep coming back to help us because they were so appreciative of the help that we gave them that they want to help other youth have a better life also with hard work. It takes hard work. We don't give them anything. They have to earn it, but we give them a hand up, not a handout. And when you give them a hand up, they really start feeling better about themselves. They start achieving, but they never forget where they come from. And so many of them, like we have concerts of hope, we call them, because it's all about keeping hope alive. And so these youth that have succeeded in our program before will come back and give hope to the new kids that we're working with that are homeless right now, saying, wow, you graduated law school. Wow, you graduated school, you're an engineer now. They give them hope that it's possible. And so I tell people, go to our website, doorsofchange.org. There's several videos of kids speaking, and you'll see what their background is. You'll see what they've succeeded in their life. They have true Rocky stories. I mean, they're amazing stories. Sergio His parents OD'd when he was 14 years old. He was on his own with brothers and sisters, okay? And he picked himself up and helped his kids. However, he then was diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma. And so he not only was homeless, but he had to deal with cancer. Now, 2.5 years later, he has permanent housing. He's cancer-free. He's got 2 semesters left in school, and he's going to finish. And that's one of the kids from Doors of Change. And he now gets interviewed on TV with me. He goes out and speaks. He just raised $2,500 speaking 2 weeks ago at a Rotary Club. I'm still blown away with him. They gave us $2,500 so they can help more kids get the services that he got to get where he is. So the kids do not forget. They come back and help us. And if you know, people always ask me, I had no idea about the homeless youth issue. There's 4 million kids homeless in America. What can I do? Go to our website, doorsofchange.org. We need donations because without donations, we can't have staff. We have a thing called the Angel Team. We trademarked Angel Team from the California Angels for free. They gave us the name Angel Team. And so for $18 a month, you think 18, why 18? Because 18 means life in Hebrew, and we're bringing life to these homeless kids. So karmically, for $18 a month, you don't even know it's getting taken out of your paycheck or your whatever. If we have 1,000 people giving us $18 a month, we'll have enough money to continue for another 24 years helping these kids get off the streets and helping themselves. So it's a little amount, but it's a lot. It makes a big difference when we have several people saying, you know something, I'll go to the website and be an Angel Team member for $18 a month. It's a little, if you can do $30 a month, that's even better. But whatever it is, a little bit makes a huge difference if several people, you know, chime in. Because I know it's not easy today. What's going on with the economy? What's going on with the politics? But giving a little amount like $18 a month to be an Angel Team member would be great. Or come to our Concert of Hope. It stars the National Tribute Band for the Rolling Stones this year on September. It's the Saturday after Labor Day, and I'm going to have you as a guest if you'd like to come.
I'd love that.
How you're helping these kids get out the streets. We have kids speak at the concert, and they share their story in front of 1,500 people, and it's very powerful. And then you'll have music. You can dance for 2.5 hours. But the most important part is 100% of every ticket bought, 100% will go to our program, our Homeless Youth Advocacy Program, to get kids off the streets. Our underwriters, our sponsors have paid for all the costs now. Everything is gravy. It's all to get kids off the streets. So doorsofchange.org, we started going on sale yesterday. So you can get great tickets. It's the Saturday after Labor Day, September 6th. Their name is Jumpy Jack Flash, the National Tribute Band, the Rolling Stones. And he looks like Mick Jagger. They sound like the Stones. And you'll have a great time. And tickets start at $44 for lawn tickets. And $65, $64 for regular seats. That's not a lot of money, but it makes a difference.
And then where is it going to be in San Diego?
PSD in San Diego at the university, right on campus. It's beautiful, outdoor amphitheater called the Epstein Family Amphitheater. But going to doorsofchange.org now, you can get tickets today. They went on sale yesterday. So actually, today is the first day pre-sale. It's the first day it's open to the public. So go on, you know, for $44 or $63, make a difference and help kids have a better life.
And so the question would be, like most people would be in these days, how do we know that this money is going to those youth? What guarantees? What can we see or what do we look forward to in knowing that that money is being used in the correct way?
That's a great question also because there's 10,000 nonprofits in San Diego alone. Who do you know who to trust? Number one, when you go to the concert, you'll actually meet the kids that night who have been helped from us. You'll hear them speak on stage. When you go to our website, and you'll see there's dozens of interviews of kids, all different walks of life, you know, Asian, African-American, white, it doesn't matter. All kids that we help, they're on there. You can look at and be able to see. And that's why it's important that if you come back every year to our concert, you'll see new kids every year and you'll see the kids that you've helped grow right before your eyes because they'll be on stage also. So it's very powerful. And you can speak to the kids while you're at the concert also and ask them, you know, how'd you get help?
And they'll tell you the truth. They'll say Jeffrey told the case manager and then they contacted the city of San Diego. Before we get a little bit deeper into the conversation, I wanted to again do a shout out to our sponsor, Kevin Pike, Coldwell Banker, 818-571-1508. He is the senior probate and real estate specialist. Again, 818-571-1508, Coldwell Banker, Kevin Pike. Go see him. He will take care of every housing need you have. He specializes in things like yours, Jeffrey, you know, placements that are difficult. You know, we are all very aware. In my opinion, you're out of date if you're not hip to LGBTQIA. You're out of date if you're not hip to, we are now in the age of Aquarius, is in a humanitarian society. No more of the selfish me, 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 me. And it's about we. It's about we now, not about me or you. Yes. And, you know, I think it's going to take everything in our power to move all of us through some very test and trying times ahead of us. So I would think that would be the least of someone's concern about someone's gender versus are they a happy, healthy human being? To me, that's where it should go. So, Jeffrey, back to you. So when you started Doors of Change, I'm assuming you called it Doors of Change because it was an opening to a new way of life for the people involved.
Correct.
What celebrities other than Billy Joel, and how, when you started, did he start talking to other celebrities for you? Was he the catapult for other celebrities to come in?
Yeah. Well, you know, he was the first one, and he took a risk because, you know, I just started this. So he said, I love your vision. I know you have integrity. He knew me from my photos. I'm an award-winning photographer. And he signed the keyboard. And then, again, and getting his endorsement and getting Elton John's endorsement was huge. But B.B. King, of anybody, over the last 24 years has helped us the most as far as I met with B.B. twice a year for 11 years in a row. He signed his Lucille's for us. We raised $165,000 with his Lucille guitar. We actually honored him on stage in front of 4,000 people at San Diego State Open Air Theater. And I presented him a plaque given by the mayor, B.B. King Day. He started crying. I started crying. But I wanted him to meet firsthand the kids that he's helped save their lives. And he met many of them. He loved it. So, you know, we've been blessed to have so many musicians. But we have celebrities also, Lucy Arnaz and Anson Williams. Lucy Arnaz is Lucille Ball's daughter. Anson Williams was Potsy on Happy Days. They're spokespeople for us. They get it. They love what we're doing. And they come and do interviews with me. And they're wonderful people. But, you know, we're so lucky to have one person at a time. It's gaining trust because, again, just like the homeless youth, it's hard to trust today. And just like a donor that's thinking, well, should I do it or not? When you see our track record, and if we've helped 2,900 kids have housing, if we weren't good, we wouldn't be around for 24 years. We wouldn't have people trust us for 24 years to be able to have this kind of impact. We need to help more kids because today with the economy, with people losing their job, families losing their jobs, now regular families are being homeless now, and the kids are homeless also. So we're having even more homeless kids than we've ever had before. And with your help, with the community's help, we can do it. It's sure not going to be with our government because it's getting worse as far as grants and, you know, money for nonprofits. It's terrible right now.
We're in for some troubled times. Yeah, we're in for some trying times. I will say, depending on your mindset and how you look at things is how you get around it. Try not to be frightened or scared. We still got to get through it no matter what we decide to do. But with your homeless youth in particular, how many of them go to top colleges? How many of them are thinking of some of, because I noticed you said like they go to a lot of trade schools, which pay big money, by the way. Don't put trade schools down, people. Trade schools pay good money. Those are the kind of, you know, people you want that have those basic kind of skills for survival. How many of them get into the prep schools like Harvard, Yale? Are there a lot of them that go that far or no?
Well, we've had, I think that one of the greatest stories I've ever had is a kid that her name is Justine. When I met her, she was suicidal. She was on the streets from 12 to 16. Why? Because her mom's boyfriend used to beat her up, drag her by her hair, and that started taking her clothes off at 12 years old. She said, no way. She left the house and was on the streets for 4 years. She just graduated law school last year. And so to have someone go from that to graduate law school is absolutely unbelievable. And she, by the way, is our first former homeless youth that's now on our board of directors of Doors of Change.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Full circle.
What a great accomplishment.
Yes.
So as they become better and more equipped to deal with life, the reality of daily life, do they you said they go on television shows and speak and everything. Is there a regular or required check-in? Is there any kind of waypoint of system when they leave? Do they have to report back in ever so often, say, hey, I'm still doing okay. I need help. Is there any kind of backsliding that goes on? What happens?
We have no rules. So kids come back to us because they are appreciative of our help. I just spoke to David today. He's a kid that used to live in one of our houses like 8 years ago. He's in the military. He's excited. He's been in the military for now 8 years. And he's really doing great in there. And he just thanked me, you know. So I hear from these kids all the time. They call and say, "Just, I want you to know how much I appreciate Doors of Change helping." And it is. It's a door that you open up and it's changing their life. That's why it's called Doors of Change. It's really walking through a door, changing their life for the good and to be self-sufficient, you know, productive citizens. And they can be role models just by who they are.
Mm-hmm. And you said doorsofchange.org. What are your some of the other social media tags that we can find more about Doors of Change?
We're on Facebook, Doors of Change. We're on Instagram, Doors of Change. But doorsofchange.org, our website, is the most, you know, where you're going to get the most information. You'll see the memorabilia that we have for sale on there. You'll see, you know, especially the stories are the key. But the most important thing is if you're touched, if you don't take action, it's not going to help anybody. So if you're touched, do something, whether you give $10, $50, $100, but be our angel team member. It would be wonderful at $18 a month or more. Just that little amount makes a huge difference for having several people say, you know something, I can give $18 a month. As bad as it is right now, I still can give a little and still, you know, help someone else. So whether you can or can't, we appreciate you doing whatever you can so we can help these kids get off the streets and have a better life.
How much of the grants and funding have been cut recently because of all the changes that have gone on? I want people to know how serious this is and how we need, because in my opinion, if you don't have kids and you don't get them some ways to express themselves and get it out, you're going to have trouble, society, man. We can't afford to have people out here running rampant because they have nothing to do, nowhere to go, no encouragement. What's the story on that, Jeffrey?
You know, just personally for Doors of Change, you know, we have this Concert of Hope I was telling you on September 6th. We have $30,000 of donors that gave to us the last several years that said, I can't give this year because of the economy or because of the political situation. $30,000, that's a lot of money. That will help tremendously, you know, get another case manager to help, whatever. So we just say, listen, please, if you're touched by what we're doing, I know that it's not easy right there for a lot of people, but even if you give $10 a month, it's great. Whatever you can give, something, help someone else, you'll feel better about yourself and you're helping other people. No matter how bad it is, always give to someone else and help others. And I appreciate if you're touched by what we're doing, doorsofchange.org. We appreciate your help. And again, kids come from all of the United States. Even though you're not in San Diego, kids come from all the United States to live in San Diego because they can live all year round. It's a lot easier to live there than Los Angeles as far as a homeless kid. There's more place for them to hide, et cetera, versus, you know, there's more open space in San Diego than there is in Los Angeles. So,
really?
Yeah. So it's, you know, there's a lot of homeless kids in San Diego and there's a lot of kids in Los Angeles too. But they come from all over the United States to have, you know, the ability to stay outside all year round. So if you're listening outside of this area, you can still give because they're coming from all over to you know, get off the streets and not have snow, et cetera.
So what would be the typical budget that they would need for one kid? What would be a guesstimate of a budget that they would need for one kid? So we'd be looking at how much money now that things are cut. If somebody said, look, I'm a millionaire, I'm just sitting around, man, my wife died or my husband, or whatever. You know, the money's going to go to the state. I have no relatives alive. I heard about Doors of Change on, you know, on LA Talk Radio, 15 minutes to show. So, and Jeffrey, so how does that work?
I can tell you this. Our budget is under $800,000 a year, which is very low for as much as we've helped. In the last 3 years, we've housed 805 kids. That's a tremendous amount of youth. But we do it because we have so many wonderful partners in our community. And we have people that have many facilities that have 20 beds, 30 beds, et cetera. They know when we get a referral from Doors of Change, it's an appropriate referral, which means the kid is usually going to stick. So when our case managers evaluate somebody and say, you know, they have domestic violence background, you send them to domestic violence. If they have drug issues, you send them to drugs. Send appropriate referrals so the kids are where they should be, and that's why they usually stay, and it's better for everybody. We have now started, this is something you're thinking about, we have started now a long-term legacy savings thing for Doors of Change so we can help for another 24 years. We set up with the San Diego Foundation, and that we've just now are putting in $35,000 into this fund that will get 6.3% interest. So we want to raise $1.5 million interest, you know, money in our savings program. So we'll get interest every year. We'll get $100,000 in interest that'll help fund our program. So it's easier to survive for another 20 years. The more we have in savings, the more interest we're going to make, and the more we can be long-term survival, you know, because it's not easy to continue this when funds are going down. We have to pay our staff. And so the way that we get around it is say, listen, if you want to give us a legacy gift, you want to give us a home, a car, some of you want to give us, we have a fund now with the San Diego Foundation we're putting together right now as we speak. That is it's a billion-dollar foundation that works in nonprofits. And that'll give us about 6.3% interest after expenses, which is a good amount, that will just continue to compound. So we have the interest payments will get us every year, you know, more kids getting off the streets.
And that's, I mean, come on, that is such a, what about YouTube, Netflix, and all these things, you know, that aren't really going to do much for us at the end of the day, except for entertainment. And then we have something like Jeffrey Sitkov's Doors of Change that is inspirational, brilliant, and good at getting our kids off the street, no matter what their gender. I don't care. That is so stupid. I'm telling you guys, if you please, I'm begging all of you, go outside of the U.S., go outside of your own communities, go and experience other worlds, other lives, so you can see what a broad experience the human life is. Human living is a broad experience. It is not for this group, that group. It is broad. It is for anyone living on the planet that gets to shine in the sun and look at the moon at night, okay? That's how I look at it. So, Jeffrey, what do you got to say before we go? We're getting short on time. We got to go in about 5 minutes.
Anybody that's in Los Angeles that's hearing this, please come 2 hours, an hour and a half to San Diego on September 6th. Be in our Concert of Hope. Come up to me. I'll be in a tux. Say, I heard you on the radio talk show. I want to be a part of this. I want to be part of the solution. You're going to dance for 2.5 hours. Tickets are only $44 for lawn tickets. Regular seats are $63. I mean, come on. It's very reasonable. Come and give back and have a great time. Come up and say hello to me. But you're being a part of the solution now. Instead of just saying, I can't help homelessness. Yes, you can. You come to our Concert of Hope on September 6th. Today, doorsofchange.org is selling tickets. We went on sale yesterday. It's our first day for general sale. So please come, go to doorsofchange.org and get a ticket. Come and say hello to me. And Aracis, I'm going to invite you to come with a guest so you can be part of this and see what you've helped us create.
Okay. I will put that. I'm really going to put that on my calendar too. Yeah. I love youth. I like encouraging them. They're the future, not us. So, you know.
You'll hear them speak also.
Yes, Jeffrey Sitkov, again, doorsofchange.org. Don't forget to support. We are going to do our best to support you in every way. I mean that. I'm very, you know, and I have young people in my family. I'm sure all of you have young people that are challenged in one way or the other. Please have them support and get on board as well. It's their gen, you know, it's their generations. They're the youth of the world. And don't forget about me, Osiris_Munir_thepainter on IG, everywhere else on entertainment Osiris Munir. Let's give a shout out to LA Talk Radio, Sam Hassan, our guy running things. Thank you for letting me shine and for letting us have such incredible guests. Don't forget that I love you. I like you for having the courage and the brave will to endure all of the obstacles and challenges that are thrown our way every day. And I love you for taking your time and coming on to hear us on LA Talk Radio show today. Again, thank our guest, Jeffrey Sitka of Doors of Change. Don't forget to support. I mean it, you guys. Come on, we can do this. We can do it. Even if you don't go to do San Diego, because I know it's a trip for some, at least go on the website and give a donation or two or three or four, whatever you like. But anything will help, as Jeffrey said. And don't forget, I love you and I love you. And I will see you next week with a very fabulous guest or just me. And don't forget, don't go judging people based on your timeline. Allow us to be who we are at our own timeline. Everyone has their own inner clock as to when life happens to them and for them. And they are with themselves on that. So don't forget, how would we like it? People judged us based on a slither of conversation that they see on the internet or the TV without knowing the full person and the full expansion of their lives. Don't forget that, okay? Next time you think about that. All right, see you later. Talk to you soon. Bye, Jeffrey. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye, Doors of Change. I love you and I'm proud of all of you youth out there. Thank you and thank you again, Doors of Change. Bye-bye. See you next week.
You are listening to 15 Minutes, the show with Osiris Munir, only on LA Talk Radio.